I mean, there have been days where we plan like dinner, and then the entire time throughout that dinner, we are talking about the kids because something happened.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm Jo and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, intimacy, and so much more. We hope you'll keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Now, working together as a couple to raise our children with a similar set of values and goals is tough work. It requires clear communication, teamwork, and trusting our spouse. But as we mentioned in our previous podcast, really the best gift we can give our children is to love our spouse. Now, how does that really work when it comes to teamwork, and how do we exactly complement each other to be better parents for our children? Well, today we're going to revisit a couple that we've invited to the studio, and that's Joelle and Jalene, married for 9 years and parents to 3 young kids, all below the age of 10. If you missed out on the previous episode, I encourage you to listen to it to find out more about how we can be great parents and also great lovers, not lousy lovers. So we welcome back to our Connect 2 podcast, Joelle and Jalene. In the last episode, you both shared about how you built that strong foundation for your marriage, and because of that, you have a strong foundation too for parenthood. Now today, our focus, we really want to dive deep into how do you really work together to effectively raise your children as husband and wife? What is the strength that you bring to your marriage, which plays out also in the way that you parent your children? Or maybe to say it the other way around, you know, how do you cover for each other's weaknesses?
Thank you for having us back. How we help one another, I think we are quite different in very broadly speaking. Jill is a very micro person. She's really down to the details, very detailed person, whereas I look at things more from a macro perspective. So she'll be like, go into details. I'm like looking at her, I'm like wondering, what are you doing?
Okay, this sounds like great complementary qualities.
She mentioned in the previous podcast that she'll be too into details, like in a storm already, don't know what to do. Then I'll be there to pull her out and let her, get her to refocus on the big picture. An example is
scheduling. Yeah, so he's a very macro person where I'm a very micro person. Because he's so macro, he's able to see the bigger picture. And sometimes it gives us the direction to take, like when I'm lost in all my emotions and all the minute details. So that's where he comes in. But he's like that already as a spouse, when he has to play the role of a dad. Like. So when I'm very busy in terms of like scheduling, like maybe I want to plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G items for the kids. Then I got 3 kids, right? So then if I try to squeeze everybody to do something, they don't get tired, but I get very tired. Yeah, so then he will actually come in and then point out to me like, hey, you know, there's no need to plan until so fine details. It's okay to take a breather. It's okay to like step back. Right, yeah, right. Then you give his pointers. And I'll be like, okay.
And you're saying that this plays out in your marriage. And so when you bring it into the parenting, it complements each other just nicely.
Actually, yes. Because he's macro and I'm micro. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that he can't go micro. I think he can dive into the details as well. But I find it harder to macro. It's like, I don't know why, it's just me.
I think like she was talking about scheduling. So, like, she likes to squeeze in as much as she can into whatever little time we have. But for me, I'm like, that's not physically possible.
She's a maximizer.
Yeah, she wants to maximize. Yeah. But then sometimes she doesn't realize that when she tries to maximize stuff for the kids, it may not be to the benefit of to herself and to the kids.
Maybe play dates, right?
Like holidays, when she tries to arrange play dates, right? Then she'll be like, okay, morning is this one, next day another one. And I was like, where's the break?
Then after like, that, I get too tired.
Yeah, after that, she's like, in the middle of all the place, like, oh, I'm too tired to carry on. I'm too tired to bring the kids out already. I'm like, then you should have staggered out. I'm told you early on that you need to stagger out the play days. It's like, no, otherwise the kids will be bored. Then kids can be bored lah, but you'll be sick.
This actually sounds like the beginning of conflict. Actually.
Yes, it's the beginning of conflict. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So it's always like before holidays, I will remind her that, yes, you can schedule play dates. Please, you can schedule one, take a break. Schedule another one, take a break. Otherwise, if you go every day, for you to travel and you have to sign play dates, you need to plan for the play dates. What you're going to do, where you're going to go, who you're going to meet,
which kid go where.
Then what happens if one kid falls sick, then everything just falls apart. La. By scheduling so much, somewhere along the line, somebody will break down. More often than not, it's the mother that breaks down first. I'll try to remind her about all these little things that that she needs to adjust. Sometimes it's also at her expectations.
In many ways, you're capitalizing on Jolene's strength in looking at the details, planning it almost to a T. But yet, Jolene, you're looking to Joel's strength to keep the big picture the big picture. How does that play out like in other aspects?
I was going to say, we had that same problem even before the kids came along. Even during when we were dating, she'd be like...
Remind me. Yes.
Yes. She'd be like, you know, it's very standard. You have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, yes.
Then
yes,
the time
yes.
She'd be like, okay, I finish at 5. I need to rush down and meet you. And I need to maximize my time. Then she'll be like, okay, then I go home. Then we'll be on the phone for another 2 hours.
I don't remember
like,
all this.
Then I'm like, by the time we finish every night, it's like, sometimes it'll be like 11 p.m. and we're still on the phone. I'm already too tired. I'm really tired. And then she'll be like, day after day, I'm like, we need to stop. We need to like, yes, it's good to build connection. It's good to get to know one another during courtship. But then, tiring.
Courtship
I'm
is tiring.
I'm sorry.
Tiring. It's not that it's bad. We all need our sleep. The thing is that I wake up a lot earlier than her to go to work. I need to sleep earlier than her because I also wake up earlier than her. Yeah. Sometimes I'm at work, then she wake up.
You were already aware of each other's strengths in that sense or weaknesses. Mm. I guess every strength carried to an extreme becomes a weakness. Mm. But you were actually aware of each other's inclinations, strengths or your different styles even before you had kids. And it sounded like you kind of already were working on moderating or balancing each other out even before the kids came about. Were there other areas that kind of caught you off guard? You know, it's only after the kids came that you discovered that, okay, we are not quite so on the same page, you know, in this area.
I was going to say discipline.
Yeah, I think discipline is a very common touchy issues between parents. Like, I have a certain idea of how we should discipline the kids and it's different from him. Yeah, and then like, I mean, during courtship, you discipline who, discipline why, and I don't nobody to discipline. This definitely caught us off guard.
So who's the stricter or more lenient person?
It depends on what you mean by stricter or more lenient. He will say I'm more lenient, but I say he's very strict. No, but I feel I'm strict.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, if you ask our kid, they will all have different answers.
Yeah, they all have
Different answers. So they will say I'm very lenient with my daughter, but I'm very strict with the boys.
I'm very strict with the daughter.
She's very strict. Then the daughter will say that she's very strict with the daughter and very lenient with the boys. They say that's favoritism from the kids' point of view, but we try not to do it. We try to make sure that we treat the kids equally. That's it. We do hold our oldest to a bit higher expectations because...
Which is not a good thing.
Which is not a good thing.
I mean, it's not a good thing.
It may not be a good thing. But we hold him because he's the eldest. The younger siblings will definitely follow his example. So if he does wrong thing, the siblings follow him, do the wrong thing. The expectation that he's now P3, he should know better sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes we have this, like you should
know better. So we'll have quarrels about how we want to...
How should we best handle the situation at that point in time with our elders? Mm.
What would be the difference in your approach? Let's say for this case of your firstborn.
I resort to the cane more.
Yeah, he is.
She will slowly talk to the kids. I'm a lot quicker in using the...
Threats.
The threats, the cane, the warnings and everything. She will try and slowly talk to the kids about it. So that is where we differ in our discipline and parenting.
Actually, this is quite common in many marriages. So how do you resolve this though?
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet, navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2MarriagePrep for more information today.
Not resolving.
everything
you need to learn along the way. It's a lifelong learning.
Still,
you know.
In the midst of resolving, I am still working to threaten less, use the cane as.
We've both reached a point where we are aware what methods are right and wrong. Like maybe I'm aware of my triggers. I tend to believe that there's a reason why the child does what the child does. So I will try and find that out rather than just immediately threatened. That's it. It depends on how much bandwidth I have. If I'm not enough state or too stressed, right, sometimes I also resort
to his method.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are good days and there are bad days. And sometimes we need to show grace to ourselves as parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to show grace to our kids also. Because we are not perfect, so we cannot expect perfection from our kids also. Mm-hmm. So I think he also reached a point where he realized that certain methods don't really work. We hold each other accountable as parents also. So how do we resolve? We try and talk lah. But
does that count as a date night activity?
Sometimes no choice, right?
sometimes it's a no choice because things happen, then we'll try and get the kids to sleep, then we will
talk about it
straight away. Right. It's also like a time we have together to really talk, but sometimes it's by not the intent that we want to spend time together, right, but we really have
an issue, a necessary conversation
that we need to have with one another with regards to things that happen in the family, things that the kid does, what we need to do.
I recall you said in the previous episode that if your date night doesn't quite happen or happen the way it's planned, it's okay, just keep trying. Persevere, yes. Right?
Just keep trying. I mean, there have been days where we plan like dinner, and then the entire time throughout that dinner we are talking about the kids because something happened.
Right. Yeah,
then we'll be like, okay, we need to talk about it, how to resolve the kids. Then if we take it that way, it wasn't really a date night because we're not focused on ourselves, but at least we still spending time with one another, but we have to focus on another issue that happens.
Yeah. But then that fosters teamwork, right? Because I need him to handle like this situation together, not like I deal with the kids myself and he deal with the kids. Mm. But we come together and then we tackle the issue together. Yeah, so I think that's also valuable. It doesn't have to be like strictly just you and me and no kids.
Mm. I mean, when you say we focus on each other as husband and wife, it's not that we ban conversations that are not strictly about the other person. Right. I mean, that's reality and that's life, right? And it's also a little bit unrealistic to avoid the necessary conversations that need to be had, because otherwise they become unresolved. I mean, your parenting issues could become unresolved issues that then impact the marriage and make things a little bit like tense. Or I mean, we're not also here to pretend that everything's fine and dandy when it isn't. Well, as you know, based on last episode, in each podcast, we do address a frequently asked question that couples would have about dating or marriage. And today's question from a wife to a husband is this: my spouse and I try our best to use our strengths to complement each other when it comes to parenting. However, there are certain tasks which we both don't particularly enjoy, namely chores, but they must still be done. How do I communicate this message sensitively to my spouse and work together with him?
There are chores that they don't particularly enjoy.
I think all of us have chores that we don't particularly enjoy.
There are certain chores that we don't enjoy. We still have to do it.
I guess not necessarily only chores. I suppose like
any other stuff.
Yeah, like or like discipline. Yeah. I know that sometimes between husband and wife, no one wants to be the bad guy, so-called, and do the disciplining of the kids. How do you force each other to come to the same place and each pull your weight?
Yeah, I think we do have to talk about it. But I mean, sometimes when we talk about it, chores could be the easiest thing to resolve. It's just a task to do. Very simple. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't like to wash dishes, there's
Buy a dishwasher.
Yes. Buy a dishwasher. Washing dishes was an issue we used to have because she will spend 2 hours washing dishes every day.
I enjoy washing dishes.
Yeah, because she enjoys washing dishes.
So she'll
take her time. 2 hours. I'm like, 2 hours a day. I'm like, I'm just going to buy a dishwasher. You load 15 minutes, half an hour, and then we'll get the dishes washed.
You just took away her therapy.
There are more important things to do at home.
Okay. So now you have a dishwasher.
Yes, I have. But then like after that I realized I had more time for the kids. So because I was so busy washing the dishes, right? Then the kids want me to read to them, but I don't have time. But then now like there's dishwasher, so then okay, now I can spend a bit more time to read with the kids and be with the kids,
More important thing.
Yeah, which is more important.
But I mean, were you like, let's say for this dishwasher case, I'm quite sure actually that this happens in many marriages or families. But were you actually for the idea of a dishwasher initially?
Actually no, because I grew up not having a dishwasher. I'm like so used to washing by my hands. Right. I feel like any other method is not clean.
Right. Yeah. So how did he convince you?
I never had a dishwasher either.
Yeah, but the way you wash is different from me. Yeah, that's another thing.
I think we are a culture that just generally never believed in dishwashers. Yeah. Like, how do you even get a dishwasher into the house if she wasn't convinced? And she's the one doing the dishwashing.
Eventually, I was convinced. Very good selling skills. All right.
I had to sell her the idea. I mean, it's therapeutic. It's good for her. But at 2 hours a day when you could be spending that 2 hours with the kids. So it's like, do you want to spend 2 hours washing dishes or do you want to spend 2 hours with the kids?
This is his selling point. Of course, spend more time with the kids.
Okay, so that's how you eventually came around to be convinced.
Yeah, so he knew exactly like what is the thing that will tip me. Yeah, so even though it's therapeutic, but I had this internal struggle between my therapeutic washing dishes or to spend time with the kids.
Which you also wanted to
Both also I want. So I need to let go of something.
Yeah.
And he's very good at it. Like sometimes when like we fall into this kind of conflict situation, to him it's maybe because like, I'm a bit more emotional. So like he's very clear. Black is black, white is white. Mm-hmm. Then he presents it in a way that, oh yeah, you make sense. that's a macro thing.
Either that or you just have great selling skills. Okay.
We must find out what's more important.
Right.
Like, I mean, at this point in time, spending time with your kids is more important than washing dishes. So definitely having a dishwasher helps.
I can wash when the kids are much older.
When the kids are much older, if she doesn't want a dishwasher, we'll just leave it there already. Right. Or we just sell it off secondhand. But in this season of life, having a dishwasher for this particular case is more important.
When we have three young kids.
Of course, there are days where we will just tell the kids not to use the dishwasher, then we'll teach the kids to wash dishes.
Sometimes.
There are sometimes that we do that also. So it's not that I get it, must always use it. There can be times where you want to teach the kid life skill, washing dishes, then go ahead and wash dishes. So there are things that you need to learn to manage.
I guess the way he communicated to me wasn't attacking me kind of thing. It was like a win-win situation. So the way he brings it across actually matters. And I suppose the time also. I think over the years, he has realized what is a good time to talk to me and how to put it across to me. I mean, likewise, both ways. Yeah. Until now, there are still certain chores that we don't like. But then like when he does it, then we have to affirm and say thank you and show appreciation. Because it takes him extra effort to do something he doesn't like.
Right.
And he does it to me also. It can be as simple as thank you. Don't need to, like so lavish affirmation. Yeah, so I mean, because we do that, then we realize that we model to the kids also. So when I cook, you know, the kids will say, thank you, mommy. Or when he cooks, then it's thank you, daddy, for cooking. So it's just little things that in your communication that matters.
I think that's a good incentive for couples. Like when we also know that it's not just about our spouse. Because most couples, we talked about it in the previous episode, we tend to prioritize our children rather than our marriage. So it kind of helps to know that this is not just for our marriage or our marital relationship, but it benefits our kids as well because they see good role modeling.
So they actually learn. They do, whether or not we realize.
So it's a win-win-win, big win. I know the questions, namely about chores that both don't like to do, and you were mentioning that it's a bit easier when it's tasks versus maybe responsibilities.
Like we're saying discipline. When it comes to discipline, nobody wants to be the bad guy. Everybody wants to be the good guy. But I think the key thing in discipline is more that both parents have to be on the same page when you do discipline. So it doesn't matter, is it I do it or she does it. As long as we're on the same page, both of us can do it, both of us have to do it. I mean, depending on the situation, if so happens that something happens at home and she has to do it because she's at home with the kids, then she'll do it. Then she'll let me know and I'll agree with her. So when I come back from work later, I will address it to the kids also. I'll just casually mention that I heard you did this. And it's like, mommy scolded you already. You know what you did wrong? Okay, then case closed. So from my end, I also show that I'm aware of, I'm also involved. I know what is happening and I'm also involved.
Yeah. So basically, it's like in front of the kids, right? You need to be seen as like one entity. They cannot play.
That's right. Otherwise, they'll play like one parent against the other, right? Like, but mommy said this.
Yeah. So like, even if he doesn't eventually do the disciplining, it's as simple as I heard from mommy, this is what happened. Yeah. So it's that teamwork and that oneness.
Because there are times where she'll say, you come back and settle with the kids later. Yeah. Okay.
But this is great. Thanks for sharing so candidly. But this is daily life, right? And we have all these challenges. And much as, you know, it's one thing to talk about teamwork, but it's another thing to see it actually being implemented and how that takes the form of daily life when it comes to our children, when it comes to, you know, as you mentioned, working as one team, as husband and wife. So to our children, it's not mommy and daddy, but it's one parenting team that I have to contend with. Before we leave our listeners with our couple challenge, would you have any last words of what it really means to be great lovers as well as great parents.
We are one, because when it comes to teamwork, we are one together. We work together. We are husband and wife. We are a team. We do things together. So sometimes, like when you face a case, we don't say that me or mommy say, we say. It becomes a we say, not she say, I say, but a we say. So it's always very important to show that you're always together, building a strong relationship with one another, so that whenever you talk to anybody, it's always a we rather than an individual.
I mean, like, everybody has strengths and weaknesses. Yeah, so I think like it's always to build one another up rather than tear one another down. Yeah, so in any team, doesn't have to be husband and wife also, right? But then like in any organization, the team, everybody has strengths and weaknesses. So then like we should affirm and appreciate the strengths. I appreciate and affirm his strengths. And then I also help him to work on his weaknesses also. And it's likewise, so he does it for me as well. It's like we will continue to grow like, in marriage. Because we continue to grow in marriage, we will grow in our parenting. If we stay stagnant in our marriage, then the parenting goes nowhere.
Wow, I think that is a very important advice and word of wisdom, that if we really want to become better parents, we do need to become better spouse. With that, it leads really nicely into our couple challenge for this episode. In each podcast, this is what we usually do. We will do end off with a couple challenge for husband and wives to do or to share with each other. So if you are listening to this podcast with your spouse, would you just take 5 minutes to verbally affirm your spouse of one strength that they have and share one weakness which you have that you are thankful for your spouse's covering and patience? Okay, so that's one strength of your spouse and one weakness of your own. Okay, even if your spouse is not listening to this podcast with you, you can always replay it, but you know, take some time to just share with them a takeaway and have them do this couple challenge with you. We want to thank Joelle and Jalene for joining us for this episode, for being just so candid in sharing, you know, how you work out your differences, your strengths, and how you complement each other as that one team, as that one married couple, and as you do parenting as one. We hope this episode has encouraged you to express your appreciation to your spouse. And if you're looking out for more resources to grow your relationship and your marriage, do visit our website at family.org.sg to browse our articles or to check out upcoming events. We hope by now you've subscribed to our Connect 2 podcast and you're following us either on Facebook or Instagram. And always do share this episode with a friend who may also benefit from it. We've heard from Jo and Jalene that marriage needs a community to support us. So thank you to all listeners for tuning in, and until next time, take care of yourself and of your spouse.